So you probably don't have a neighborhood blacksmith these days. Blacksmithing is an ancient trade that, like other crafts, saw a downturn during the Industrial Revolution when machines took over jobs that humans once did. Now, even if there isn't one around the corner, blacksmithing, believe it or not, is enjoying a small revival as smiths connect with customers over the internet. Alex Schmidt reports on one man who's leading the renaissance.
Adams Forge in Los Angeles is a dark, high-ceilinged warehouse space. It's set up with anvils, medieval-looking tools, and black ovens that breathe fire.
So, I'm going to do this once. Take the drift. Make sure it fits, right?
Today, about a dozen people have gathered for an advanced class taught by master blacksmith Mark Asprey.
It's perpendicular, overlap them, not more than half the thickness of the bar. Create the common hole. Drift the common hole, you'll have an angle. Okay, I need the mathematicians.
Asprey walks up to a dry erase board to illustrate some of the finer trigonometric points of blacksmithing. He only makes it to LA a couple times a year, and his students get more from him than math class. During lunch, Asprey tells an old story about King Arthur.
And he invites all the artisans in and he says, well, I'm going to have a feast.
Arthur asked each artisan to explain why his work was important to building Camelot. Tailor, carpenter, stonemason, goldsmith, each made a strong case. But then Arthur thought twice.
And he says, Tailor, he says, tell me, your needles, your scissors, where do you get those from? I said, well, sorry, I go down the blacksmith shop. And so it is down the road, the carpenter goes to the blacksmith shop, the stonemason.
Then Arthur gets to the blacksmith.
Blacksmith, he says, who makes your tools for you? I says, sorry, I make my own tools, that is my craft.
Asprey learned the ancient craft through a traditional apprenticeship in the UK. Now he's spreading his knowledge throughout the US by literally writing the book on blacksmithing. His three-level program was adopted by the National Blacksmith Association, and it routinely sells out here at Adams Forge.
It's exciting for me. There are a lot of people developing crafts, and I really think that the time is right to help those people along. Whether it's structure, whether it's financing, but the time is right.
Still, it's not a huge industry. There are between 5 and 10,000 blacksmiths in the U.S., and of those, only about 10% do it professionally. They make things like custom railings or artistic hardware for homes. Scott Higgins was learning to punch a hole in metal during class.
I'm having a great time. I would never leave here unless they didn't throw me out. I'd stay here the whole time.
Higgins' day job is making electronic equipment for rockets. He's deep into blacksmithing in his spare time.
My target is to do everything and learn everything within 6 years when I do an early retirement, and then this is just what I'll do.
And maybe make some money on the side? Or is that the idea?
Enough money to pay for material and maybe an occasional beer.
Blacksmiths can make money these days finding customers on the internet. That means they need to be entrepreneurs and have an artistic vision to sell. Len Lodish teaches marketing at the University of Pennsylvania.
Instead of having to spend time in front of an assembly line doing repetitive things, we now have people who are making artisan crafts and selling those and learning how to banter and learning how to deal with customers. And I would expect that that's a much more satisfying life.
Mark Asprey agrees. Being an artisan now means making human connections.
You need to have some form of verbal repertoire. It's not just banging on a hammer. And so you've got to have a few jokes.
Remember Asprey's story about the blacksmith at Camelot? It wasn't just something to do during lunch. In fact, charming customers is an important part of the blacksmith's new skill set. For NPR News, I'm Alex Schmidt.